Automate, survive, thrive. The time is now. The Automation Alliance podcast brought to you by RapidMation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Automation Alliance podcast. Today, I'm extremely excited to welcome Katrine Stucker on today's episode. Katrine is the Chief Operations Officer at Steadfast Underwriting Agencies, and she's worked in the insurance industry for more than 28 years. Her experience spans across underwriting, broking and operations, including business transformation, operational excellence, project management, mergers and acquisitions, to name just a few. She's held roles both locally and offshore for Allianz, for XL Insurance, for Aon, for Zurich, and now Steadfast Underwriting Agencies. She's also worked in Germany, New Zealand, Singapore, Hong Kong, and of course here in Australia. So Katrine, welcome to the Automation Alliance podcast.
Thank you very much, Sean.
All right. So just to kick things off, and for any of the listeners who may not know who or what Steadfast Underwriting Agencies is, could you take us through who Steadfast are and what specifically Steadfast Underwriting Agencies does?
Sure, absolutely. Steadfast Group is the largest general insurance broker network and the largest group of insurance underwriting agencies in Australasia, with growing operations in Asia and Europe. Steadfast Group has three business units, primarily focused on the intermediated general insurance market. When we're looking at the agency side of things, we have 25 underwriting agencies and sell over 100 products. What that means is we're very specialized in niche products, and the overarching goal is that we're trying to serve our customers by empowering the brokers to provide the clients with the exceptional service and superior products.
Yeah, brilliant. And Katrine, when we first connected, I don't think I really appreciated the scale of the Steadfast Group. And I remember you warning me very specifically on that. But I guess from the broker network to the underwriting agencies to all the complementary businesses like Steadfast Tech, Steadfast Business Solutions, and so many more, it truly is an amazing group of companies that's full of many talented people. So talking about when we first connected, I still remember that our meeting was one of chance, right? And it was at an event called the Digital Workplace event in Sydney. And I believe it was a few years ago now. I think I just finished a session called What If Software Bots Didn't Take the Place of Humans But Worked Alongside Them? And I know that you and I happened to bump into each other at one of the booths at the same time. And that's really where we started our conversation and our intelligent automation journey together. So it was a good few years ago, and I'm not sure if you remember that meeting or not, but I'm keen to hear if that was the first time that you'd actually heard about software bots.
Well, actually, believe it or not, it wasn't that long ago. It was probably only a couple of years ago. But if you're looking back, it just feels like a lifetime ago, because we had COVID, and there's so many things that just really make us all blur out. But what I like about the whole journey that we've had is... No, we haven't really had much involvement with robotics until we met. But what was really important for me and why I was even at this conference was in operations, you always need to balance or find a balance to increase the customer experience whilst lowering expenses, whilst also increasing the business growth and the staff engagement. So it's a tricky balance, but at the same time, we have got ever-changing regulatory requirements and legacy systems. Yeah. So that challenge usually means if we continue to work the way we used to work, we're not gonna keep up and balance that well. So we needed to look at innovation. Yeah. And that's why I tend to visit those conferences and try to find ways on how can we improve as a business. And then when we found out about robotics there, at first it actually felt like too good to be true.
Yeah,
really too good to be true. So what that meant to us was, well, should we explore this further and find out if it is real or if it's fake news? So that's why we were so keen to meet you and have this initial dialogue.
Yeah, amazing, right? So, and I guess for any of the listeners who may not be familiar with bots or software bots, I always say these aren't the Terminator-style robots that are going to take over the world. They're rather software bots or digital workers that we can teach to either connect into systems via APIs, or we can teach them to do the clicks that you and I as humans would do on a screen. So, Katrina, when you first saw these software bots in action, what were your original thoughts on how you may be able to use them inside the underwriting agencies?
Well, there were so many use cases that I could think of. And but when you have got so many use cases, you really have to concentrate on the ones that probably have the biggest impact. So the highest volume and where the underwriters are really, truly being relieved and that was the first challenge, to find out what might be the right process to explore. Because if it's true that this can change the way we see it on the screen, then we are just instantly on the winner there.
Yeah, absolutely right. So, and at the beginning of that intelligent automation journey, we created a few teaser videos to show you and the team the art of the possible, right? And to eliminate the fake news and to kind of show you what might be possible. Do you remember some of those teaser videos that we created for you and what they were about?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of our agencies is Doors, and Doors specialize in motor vehicle insurance, but not your standard motor vehicles, but the specialized ones like your exotic cars, like the Ferraris, the Porsches, the Rolls Royce, Maseratis, etc. And that's also a high volume kind of agency. What the underwriter has to do is, as part of the underwriting process, to find some values, the average values for a vehicle. So essentially, what they are doing as one of the little steps in the long process of underwriting is they are trying to find out what the average value of a vehicle is. So they take the make and model and the year, usually based on the number plate, to then start the underwriting process. But even just this little tiny process in itself, which just seems to be a few steps, can take up to 5 minutes. Mm. And if you can reduce it to a few seconds or eliminate full stop, but having still the information available to you, I mean, that's a huge saving. And that was something that we wanted to explore and asked you to provide a teaser for us.
Yeah.
And when this teaser came through, I remember vividly, we had to ask you to slow down.
I remember that.
To slow down the recording of the bot actions, yeah, because it was so fast that the human brain might have blinked, like we might have missed it, because if you blink, the process is already finished.
Yeah.
So the 5 minutes were reduced into seconds.
Yeah.
And that was hugely impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. And I remember we did a few other teasers in there, but one of the things I personally love is when we start to introduce people into robotic process automation, I love it because often people think it is too good to be true. And once you start showing things to people, their faces light up about what the art of the possible actually is. Yeah. All right. So once we created some of these teaser videos and you showed them to the team and you got a little bit excited about the possibilities, we then started on a first project for you and the team. Can you talk the listeners through the first project that you got started on, what the pain points were and why you started with that specific one?
Yeah, we continued with that journey on Doors purely because it was heavily, we had the high volumes and we'd already started the teaser. And on top of that, we had a team that was embracing to be part of this journey, because not everybody necessarily embraces change and not everybody switches from skeptic to I want this. Mm-hmm. So having had this enthusiasm from the business unit itself made it a natural kind of choice to continue on that journey. So we took it further. We didn't just stay at this particular process, but we expanded it out to the entire renewal process. A renewal is basically when an insurance policy is in the second or third year, or like any subsequent years, and the policy needs to be renewed and the terms need to be presented to our customer. Historically, it was very manual, very heavily manual, and which meant that it took us a long time to get those quotes out to the customers, which in turn also meant the underwriters couldn't focus on the new business quotes that were coming in because they were still busy with the renewal quotes. So we wanted to take away this bottleneck so that the underwriter can really focus again on the value add tasks that really enhance the customer experience, because at the end of the day, it's all about the customer experience. And we wanted it to be a positive one.
Yeah, absolutely right. And we always say, I think a few of the things we coined during that process was, let's let underwriters be underwriters and use their intuition and all their great knowledge they have to do what they do best, rather than having to do all the tedious, mundane and repetitive stuff that, although important, is just kind of the tops and tails of that process. So we went through that journey and we got that process up and running. What was the feedback like from the team? So did they, how did they take to that?
Well, firstly, it was very important to also acknowledge that the team that we were working with, as in your team, they really embraced everything that was new to them, and it was a very collaborative approach. So there wasn't a us and them, it was like, how can we make it happen? And that was really appreciated. So you really tuned into how to make our experience a good one. And so the first of all, that was really appreciated. You were listening to our needs. You were in the office, as in your team was in the office, so we're sitting side by side next to the underwriter, and we made it happen. And when we had the first product up and running, everybody was just blown away. Just simply blown away. We were then fortunate enough to bring this to internal conferences and showcast at internal town halls to the broader Steadfast staff. And they, like, literally the amount of positive responses I received afterwards was overwhelming. And I don't think there was anybody in the room that was a skeptic anymore, but there were a lot of people in the room, I want this now.
Yeah, amazing. It's amazing how people turn very quickly just to be not jealous, but they see what other people are doing and they're like, I want one, right? I really need that. Yes. So truly amazing. And I really appreciate some of those kind comments there. One of the things that I loved about the journey is we coined a new phrase, and it was something that you spoke about and something that I often use with other customers now, and it's the term bottable. So talk us through what you mean by the word bottable.
Yes, bottable. Look, I'm German by way of background, so I didn't know if that word existed, but I loved it. So I might have invented it. I have no idea. But essentially, what you need to do on the robotics journey is you need to find those processes that are good for the bot, where you have a good match, basically. So because not every process gets the return on investment, basically, because it's too manual. You have to not too manual is the wrong word. The bot can't read the document, for example. So that you have to find processes that the bot likes, better words or things. And so finding those bottable processes is absolutely key. You need to understand the limitations of the bots and also embrace the capability that the bot has. And working with you and your team was really important to understand those differences, because we have all sorts of ideas of, we don't want to do this part anymore, we don't want to do that part anymore. But as I alerted to earlier as well, the volumes need to sort of fit. So if you do a certain process only once or twice a year, the effort to actually make it up and bring it up and running for automation might be too huge to actually really get a benefit. But there's plenty of processes in the insurance world that have high volumes and are basically structured data to structured data, which are absolutely, your prime candidates for robotics.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I really love that word bottable, and you're so right. So after automating that initial process, I guess, can you talk the listeners through what you started to do and what other things you started to automate across the underwriting agencies?
Yeah, so we did a few things. First of all, we needed to spread the word. We needed to showcast it. We needed to show others what it is that a bot has done for us, so that we use more brain power to decide what other processes may possibly be there that we can make bottable. That was one important part. Second important part was, because we've already been on the journey with you on a specific process, and we have got several agencies, so they have the same processes in general terms, so they all have to have renewal processes. We looked at those agencies, if the same bot can be used, or the same process could be used, to leverage, I guess, what you've already built for the other agency. And we found, yes, there was, the use case was certainly there. And so we tried to stay in the lane rather than flip-flop around and enhance more things for one agency. We kind of took it across several agencies and bring them on the same journey. What I found amazing, I mean, depending on the actual underwriting processes per product, which differ, and the volumes differ, we've now achieved process improvements on the renewal process between 35% and 80%, which is huge. If you think about it, back in the day, where you are doing process improvements by trying to standardize processes and taking out non-value-add processes or non-value-add steps, if you're lucky, you're achieving 25%. But 25% today is not good enough anymore. And if you then think that bot can give you at least a 35% process improvement, you know, an 80% is probably conservative because we didn't want to really overplay it, but so 80% is a very safe number for us. It's just mind-blowing.
Absolutely mind-blowing, right? And thanks so much for sharing that, right? So there's so many of those things, and I think there's so many nuggets that you've learned on your intelligent automation journey that many of the listeners should take out, right? I like how you said you stayed in the lane, you didn't flip-flop across different things, and I think that was such a great way just to go and get the best value to get started and use some of the things you've already created to very quickly roll that out across the other agencies. So, Katrin, thinking about things, right, you're only 1 year into your automation journey, and that's pretty crazy to think all of the successes that you've had, or I believe that you've had, right? So I guess first question is, would you say that it's been a success so far? And if so, how do you measure that success, right? Do you measure it in terms of hours saved, people's time freed up, or employee satisfaction? How do you measure that?
Yes, Sean, as you might have noticed, I've got a big grin on my face throughout this conversation because, yes, absolutely, it has been a success for Steadfast Underwriting Agencies. So how do we measure it? There are several ways of measuring, because it's not just the hard numbers. I think, as I alerted to before, costs need to be kept low, the business growth needs to go up, staff satisfaction needs to go up, and customer satisfaction needs to go up. So if we're trying to balance that, we also then look at those elements. And yes, we have been successful because we've now been able to turn around a much higher volume with the same amount of resources that we had before, which means we are keeping the cost low. Otherwise, to do the same amount of workload that we have now been able to process, we would have had to hire another two or three people. That's one part. The customer satisfaction side is obviously to turn around quality a lot quicker. So by with the help of the bot, we also reduce the human error part of it. So the quality should really increase. The time to return a call back to the customer is much faster. That all of that should lead to higher customer satisfaction, along with the fact that now the underwriter has got more time to speak to the customer and really truly listen to the customer. So those are some of the elements. But I recently have asked the team, like, you know, what would your life be like without the bot in place?
Yeah.
And, you know, so nobody actually can imagine the life anymore without the bot being or working alongside them. Because that actually scares them now. It's really interesting because before they were scared the bot might take away my job.
Yeah.
Now they are scared of don't take the bot away because, you know, I would feel overwhelmed. Yeah. And that's a, you know, a beautiful change to see in the mindset of people. But equally, like, because we have worked as a team to get into where we are, we should not forget there's also now career opportunities, different career opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, we are doing less of the administrative tasks, so the underwriters, the assistant underwriters, can become an underwriter more quickly, and we can also offer career opportunities in the robotics space because that's like a whole new world that has opened up for us. And so there are so many other factors other than the hard factors. Yes, we have increased by X, you know, we've had so many time savings by 80%, etc. For me, whilst the hard facts are important, the softer facts are also equally important and shouldn't be overlooked. So we're all part of this journey. We're all really, really happy with that journey. And we were actually really surprised how little teething problems we had. I think part of that was because we were really putting our thinking caps on as a team of how do we approach it. And with your help as well, sort of have the robust discussions and but also try things. And if we didn't feel it was going right, then just abandon them and try something else. I think it was a really exciting journey, and surprisingly was very little setbacks. You know, actually I can't remember any, actually, to be perfectly honest. But so fully success. And as you said, it's only been a year. And in that year, we also had COVID. And I said earlier, we were sitting with us side by side.
Yeah.
But when COVID hit and our offices were closed, you could continue to work. You could continue to engage with the staff and work on new processes. And you didn't actually have to be in the office. And that's something that we had to wrap our mind around as well, because I initially thought, oh no, we're just on this beautiful journey. We're just at the start of this journey. And now it's already cut short because we can't see each other anymore.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case at all. We could do it remotely, which is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. I think, again, so many nice nuggets in that. I think often people, when they measure success, it's easy to measure the hard numbers, right? Yeah. So like the time saved, the dollars saved, that type of thing. But I often think that it's about both the hard and the soft factors and how they come together, because it's about the employee satisfaction. It's about giving them career opportunities, as you said. And there's so many of those beautiful things that come out of this journey that become very, very important. So I think that's a brilliant thing to hear. So I know that obviously during the journey, right, you had to share continual updates with the senior exec team because it was fairly new for Steadfast. And the senior execs obviously wanted to see if they could use that in other places across the Steadfast group. So how did they perceive automation? Are they excited about the possibilities for the wider Steadfast group?
Absolutely. When we first presented the teasers, so we presented relatively early because we were so excited about it. I think the biggest part was moving away from talking about it to actually seeing it. Because I think the visualization of what does it actually mean to have a bot was very powerful. So seeing what the bot does on the screen basically is exactly what you are doing in your day-to-day, but it just goes super fast. Was the part where everybody was superly impressed. And instantly I was given lots of contacts to say, hey, can you talk to them about this? And can you maybe introduce Sean and his team to the broker network? And we've done that. And so we haven't kind of kept it to ourselves, because that's not the Steadfast way. You know, we're always trying to get best outcome. So whenever we can share anything exciting, that's what we do.
Yeah, brilliant, right? Absolutely brilliant. So it sounds like you've achieved some amazing things in just 1 year, right? So where do you see it going to next from here on in for Steadfast Underwriting Agencies?
So we will continue on the journey. We want to explore all the opportunities that we have, and we have got several tools, of course, available to us that you kindly provided along the journey that help us to prioritize what comes next. But it is all about bringing the brains together and having the staff who are doing the work tell us, this is what I could help, could use help with. So it shouldn't be a top-down approach. It has to be a approach from every staff member to say, now that I've seen what's possible, I want one.
Yeah.
And along the lines of your team has also kindly offered some training how to build your own bot, which was superly exciting for the team, where we can have our own personal bot on our own machine that helps us with a very little task, and you can build it yourself, which increases your opportunity to A, learn about robotics, but also help you with your day-to-day mundane tasks. And you are completely in control of that journey. And I find that superly exciting. We had a competition around that, and staff got really engaged with this. And, you know, I think we're just really, it's just a tip of the iceberg of what's possible. So the options are endless, but you just have to really go through the process of what are the ideas, what makes sense, applying those rules. Is it bottable? Is it not so bottable?
Mm-hmm.
And then go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't have summed it up better, right? Such an amazing journey, such an amazing story. Thank you for sharing it with the listeners. I really appreciate it. But just before we end off, I wanted to change gears slightly, right? So one of the core values and founding principles that we have here at RapidMation, we call it be a good human, right? So what we mean by be a good human, that spans from doing the right thing by customers. It means contributing to the technical community in Australia, helping people out with their knowledge and understanding of different things, and also being able to contribute to the community at large, right? So that might be a special cause or charity or something that is close to our hearts. And I know that one of the charities that is close to your heart is something called the Children's Cancer Institute. So can you tell the listeners a little bit more about this charity and some of the crazy things that you get involved in on a yearly basis for this amazing cause?
Yes, of course. Thank you. Well, the Children's Cancer Institute has got one amazing goal ahead, an amazing vision, and I love great visions that seem impossible, but if you put your mind to it and if you put the right people around it, it is not impossible. And their vision is to get to zero childhood cancer, which is like really, like, you know, at this point in time there's about 20 kids being diagnosed with cancer every single week, and about 3 kids die every single week of cancer, and that's just too much. And to have the vision to get to zero childhood cancer and putting all the funds into research and into the right custom made medication, so that you're basically helping this individual child with a very targeted cure, is obviously a very costly, but amazing as well. So like when I found out about this 2-3 years ago, I was instantly, you know, bought in. I was like, oh my God, yes, I want to be part of this. And what the Children's Cancer Institute does, they have several fundraising events, and the one that I have taken to is is basically it's called the CEO Dare to Cure. That is for every CEO or C-suite person, and what the institute does, they are proposing 6 dares, different dares, and you pick one and then you up for it. So there's one day in the year, usually in October, where we meet, and then we have to perform this dare. And the dares that I've done in the past, I've done it now for 2 years. I've done the snake bath challenge, where you basically, in a container, lying down, and then they put about two snakes, very large snakes, python snakes on you, and they crawl all over you, which, yes, it's not necessarily what I dream of. And so that was the first opportunity for me to get involved in fundraising initiatives. And so I've done that. And that event was such a nice, supportive, like it was just a beautiful experience. The whole atmosphere and how people come together for this one cause was just overwhelmingly beautiful. So I was like, yes, I want to be doing this again next year. And so for the last year, I decided to shave my hair in order to raise funds for the Children's Cancer Institute. And I also convinced you to maybe join me on this journey, and we did it together.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for getting me involved in such an amazing cause. We both shaved our head together last year, which is, it was quite fun watching both of us, because when we used to speak to each other, we were at different stages of the hair growth back journey. But thank you for being such a great ambassador and for promoting such an amazing initiative far and wide. I cannot wait to see what this year's event brings and what dares we're going to get involved in this year. But certainly it's been a great cause. So thank you very much for that. Katrine, it's been an absolute pleasure hosting you today. Just before we say goodbye, are there any parting thoughts or comments you want to leave the listeners with?
Well, the parting thought for me is we were initially like curious, but skeptical. And you sometimes have to take risks and just do it. Mm. You know, I think in hindsight, looking back, there wasn't really a risk. So sometimes you can overthink it, you can take too long to make a decision. Just make the decision, go for it, have a go. If it doesn't work for you, then you can always stop, but listen to the experts. They will guide you through the journey. They will advise you whether it is a bottable or not so bottable process, and just do it. It's really worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't have summed it up better, right? We often say to customers, it's no longer about if you're going to do this. It's really about when, and when needs to be today. So Katrine, thank you so much for sharing your invaluable insights and story about your intelligent automation journey. We cannot wait to see what's next for you and the team. So speak soon.
Thank you, Sean. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
Be part of the community and join the Automation Alliance at www.automationalliance.com.